Welcome to another episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast, hosted by Matt Christopher and Dan Adler. Settle in, listen, and learn what drives them to share their knowledge and experiences with the hope it gets you thinking about a different perspective on life. Over to you, Matt and Dan.
G'day, Matt.
How are you, Dan?
We're back.
We've survived.
We made it through.
The cyclone.
It's Wednesday, the 12th of March, and we're on the other side of what was a Category 2 cyclone.
I know. Everybody went crazy, didn't they?
Yeah. What was it like for you? What did you see? What did you experience?
Panic. No, I wasn't panicking. Can I just be honest? It had a touch of COVID, and I don't want to go into that subject today.
Lockdown.
But yes, it did. It had a bit of a lockdown. The media was, I'll get in trouble for saying this, it was going to be the end of the world.
Sky's falling.
It was. Down, and we're going to be swept away, and tsunamis and flying barbecues, and I went to the shops. I'll be honest with you here. I went to the local shops, and people were grabbing toilet paper again, and they were, and this is something you'll be able to explain, because you're a pretty smart guy, is they were grabbing frozen goods, which if we weren't going to have any electricity.
Power outage.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happens there. But anyway, it's panic. Mm. But I didn't get into the panic, unfortunately. How did I feel? The overwhelming sense of, like, dread. Should I be panicking? Should I be freaking out? Should I be thinking this is my last day on Earth? Because the media will just add it and add it and add it.
Attention.
Oh, and then the reporters were at each location, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, at the Wynnum foreshore, and they were pointing out that, see that there, the white caps are coming, and not everybody should be at in their homes and frightened and terrified, and just went on and on and on and on. It got a bit boring. It's just like, am I meant to be panicking? Because people were panicking, weren't they? Panic.
And then there was the memes that we will rebuild if when a palm frond fell over, or a bit of outdoor furniture, a chair fell over. We will rebuild, you know. There was the jokes that, what is this cyclone? Where is this cyclone? It's a fake.
I don't know. But I don't have shares in our major retailers, like the I won't mention any names, but we're in Australia, we've got pretty much two massive grocery shops, I imagine.
Duopoly.
They must have made a fortune. Oh, wow.
Within a week.
Yeah.
10x.
So, how did I feel? Almost like I was late to the party. Like, I don't go into the panic, but everybody was panicked.
Mm.
We had a neighbour come over and goes, have you guys got enough batteries? Have you got? Yep, we do. We do. We're already ready. We always have our living in the subtropics. We expect there's going to be really bad storms. So as a family, we have batteries, we have tin goods, we have things like that, because that's, you know, you sort of and got your valuables in an area where they can go. So we're a little bit like, because material things for us are not, they're not the be all and end all.
Mm.
Just as long as us and the family are safe, that's all that matters.
Everyone was cleaning up around the neighbourhood. They were getting rid of anything that might be a
projectile.
Yeah, and they were using ratchet straps to strap down.
That was good.
Furniture and taking down stuff like trampolines or anything that would be a projectile.
Yeah.
So the neighbourhood's never been cleaner.
No, that is true.
Which was really interesting.
It's true. How did you go? How did your family go?
Well,
did you?
For me, like, we've got this house up on the top of the hill here, and we're not at risk of flooding. But we've got a huge big Kadagi tree right at the back of our house.
We're looking at it right now.
The tree house. We've got big trees all around us, and, you know, it's been here for a lot longer than we have, and a lot longer than all the neighbours, because it's a huge tree.
It is, it's huge, yeah.
And thank goodness it survived. I felt in the few days, I think it was meant to cross Thursday, then it didn't. Mm. It was meant to cross Friday afternoon, then it didn't. Then it was meant to cross Saturday morning, and then it just dissipated into a rain depression.
That's correct.
It just the rain. And then Saturday night was like a hangover, where it was windier on the Saturday. But the tension, and, you know, we felt like everyone was on tenderhooks. When you were driving around town, people were a little bit tetchy, is that the right word? They were a bit like triggered, easily triggered, and there's anger levels were very
high. Did you see that? Did you see some road rage or something
road
like
rage
that?
Really? In the shopping centres, people just like driving fast, you know, drove to a place and we could just see these people just go zigzagging through the crowd. Of course, maybe there was a reason for them to get to where they needed to go really quickly, but it was really irresponsible. But equally, there's a point where we did as much as we could do to protect the house, you know, protect the windows from things smashing through the glass. And there was a point where you just had to wait and wait and wait. And that tension that was building up and building up, that first Friday night, I remember hearing the wind and my mind was playing tricks on me, imagining what it's going to be like when it does cross the coast, when the cyclone does cross the Australian coastline, which was meant to be like 2 or 3 in the morning. I couldn't sleep. And I had to put headphones on. I had to play a podcast or some audible book to feed my brain, because otherwise my mind was listening to the wind outside. Thinking,
so you really got, you genuinely got spooked by that?
I got freaked out. And normally I'm a storm chaser. I'm like Lieutenant Dan, you know. You call this a storm? That's not a storm. Come on, God. Let's see what you got.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you're challenging Almighty God. I love that. That's great. How's that going to end?
But now we're getting back to normal. It's Wednesday. School has just gone back.
My daughter went
everyone.
Back to school. Yep.
Yep. And the road's now open. I caught a bus into the CBD yesterday and it was so packed by... I was lucky to get on the bus, but it then drove past, I think, 8 stops where it did not stop. And the people that were watching this bus, the 180 bus, go past. And the bus drivers are saying, what can I do? There's nowhere you can fit on the bus. It was a free bus service, but it was great to see. The point I'm making is that everyone's going back into work and getting back to normal as fast as possible. But equally, it's like, well, what do we want normal to be? Obviously, the business world needs to go on.
Of course.
School needs to go on because all the kids are driving their mums and dads crazy, cabin fever at home.
Oh, yeah.
We've
got no internet at home still. So my daughter's going, her iPad is not working. So that's the worst. That's a big thing these days. The kids have got the, what are they called, tablet. I've got the tablet fever or...
And when the power comes back on, some people like my mum and dad, they've got an Apple TV box and a TV plugged to the wall. They unplugged everything because they got told if the power comes back on...
The power surge. Yep.
And sure enough, mum's TV's blown. And
has it really?
Yeah, so there's little things like that if you're not technologically adapting and knowing how things work. If you just kind of turn up and press a remote control and it just works and I don't know where this comes from, this signal, they're now freaking out going, oh, I don't have any TV, don't have any TV, like your daughter, iPad, what do I do? So that's interesting to watch too, how people, what do I do if I don't have power? I'm going to have to play cards. I have to play, some type of charades or just talk to people and do something really basic.
Do you think that the... I'm playing devil's advocate here, but do you think that when the media, and I'm not going to mention the particular person's name, there was one particular very well-known TV personality in the morning, and he's talking and he was saying to the audience, people aren't taking this serious. I've been through storms before and you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know what's about to happen. Well, he didn't know what's going to happen because it's a good thing. It didn't happen.
No.
But do you think the anxiety-inducing messaging, I'll be kind, messaging is like the only way that they think that they can get people to follow orders, to... do what they want? Do they need to press the panic button? What's your feeling on that, Dan?
From what I was seeing, listening to my friends and colleagues, they were all saying, I've had enough of the news. I'm turning it off.
Right.
I've got to my top of my limit of how much I can take.
Good.
It'll be what it'll be. Mother Nature is in charge.
Absolutely.
If it rips the house off, the roof of the house off, well, I can't stop that. What am I going to do?
Well done. Bravo. Like
so
it.
So that was interesting. And that we're going to talk a little bit about that, why we didn't drop this podcast, this episode, a week or two ago. I think we were kind of due 2 weeks ago to drop this one. You fell sick.
I think a lot of people have had that sort of really terrible chesty thing, and I get asthma as well. So when I get those that sort of cold, I find it very difficult to breathe, and I had a lot of temperatures. I'd had a little bit of time off work as well, so I wasn't firing in all cylinders. So
you went right to drop a episode.
No way.
And then the cyclone happened.
That's right.
And here we are now.
So people have been asking, actually, haven't they?
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah. What one of the Raven? I hope you hear this, my friend. He was saying, "What's happened? What's happened to you guys? Something must have happened."
So we broke up.
Well, I get the dog, so it's okay. You can get the debt and I'll get the dog, that's okay?
Yeah, well, we've done five. This is our sixth. And the statistics are apparently that 95% of podcasts don't make it to 13. So we're going to break it up into chunks of five. That's what we've just finished, five. We're calling that the pilot. And thank you to everyone who's been watching or listening to our episodes and have bravely confronted us and said, hey, if you did this differently, and they said, wow, you really went in the deep end. It was very dark and deep, some of those initial episodes that we talked about with loneliness and depression and life without children and like, whoa. So we're going to brighten it up a bit, make this one a bit lighter. And the topic of today is, if I knew then what I know now, how would life be different? Another way to frame that would be, what would you tell your younger self, your 10-year-old who has a brain that's ready to learn and take on board your feedback? You, Matt Christopher, what are 2, 3, 5, 10 things that you can think of that if you were a younger boy, now that you know what you know now, what would you tell that younger self?
Don't listen to many people's advice. I'm not talking about mum and dad. You've got a good relationship with your mum and dad. That's fine. But don't take too many people's advice. Far as I'm concerned, people who are panicking over these times, storing 10,000 rolls of toilet paper, are probably not going to give you great advice when it comes to especially growing businesses or being taking risks. And as you know, as I know, if you want to make it somewhere, you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to be ready to be disappointed. You've got to be ready to be rejected a lot. And most people don't, basically, unless they see it, they can't believe it, really. So in business, when you're starting off, how can you show somebody what it's going to be like? Well, you can't. So, you know, really take it, be very careful who you take advice from. I think that the safe road is the safe road, but that's where you'll always be in that lane. I think that it wasn't until I basically said, I have literally one life, I'm never getting another shot at this. And I know that sometimes people say that's a bit negative, but the fact is, that's it. We're all dying in a sense. And I went, I'm just going to go for it. And that's just it. I'll be selfish. So to me,
time is precious.
Absolutely. So younger self is, you know what, just take the risks. Just take the risks.
And live life.
Live it. You know, live it. I didn't live it. I was very conservative, and that's okay. And I see many of the people that I grew up with who followed that advice, and they're exactly where they are, where you think they'd be. You know, where they'd be. And it's, but then they'll say, oh, well, we never had the opportunity. Oh, well, we had to do. No, you didn't have to. So first of all, be very, very selective on who you take advice from, especially when it's life limiting.
Wonder why people want you to stay in that safe lane. Is that because they themselves are too afraid to get out of that safe lane?
So.
And they've therefore they want you to be with them?
Absolutely. And also the what I call the examples, like, oh, there was this guy and he did a business, started a business, for instance, and then he bought all this and he did all that, and then it all turned to nothing, and then now he's under a tree somewhere in a park being eaten by possums or whatever. It's always that sort of story. And then when you dig down into, if you can even find us, you know, find out who the person was, it's never because they took the risk. It's a lot of other issues going on. And I think going back to that, if you've never seen risk takers, right, you've really never seen risk take and been around them, and what it means to live basically on the edge, because the safety is you're
in the herd.
Absolutely.
And tall poppy syndrome culture in Australia. That's, if that's you stick your head up the parapet
art form.
As a leader.
Oh, you're finished.
Then you're actually afraid of success, because if you are successful, you get pulled down. You get spears and arrows being thrown at you.
Well, basically, who are you? Why should you succeed? Why is that? What makes you? What makes you better than somebody else? He's like, well, why do I have to? Like, why? And when you're young, that really makes sense. Like, well, okay, yeah, you're right. There's someone that's taller, better looking, smarter, went to better school.
Ticking the boxes.
Yeah, yeah. And so, well, yeah, you know what, you're right, yeah. And you think, well, hang on. At the end of the day, if I succeed, isn't it me? It's me. If I fail, it's me. So those narratives, don't listen to them. Like, don't
listen. You've got two ends of the spectrum. You've got the people that think that they know everything and they've got all the experience in life and they've seen and heard it all. I've seen and heard it all before. So what you're telling me now, it's too good to be true. Don't go down that path because I know or I can already see the future. You're going to fail. Then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the haters.
Mm.
All right? There are going to be people, you can't impress everyone.
No.
And you're going to have people that when you do put yourself out there, you know, we were just talking about that a second ago on this podcast, we're putting ourselves out there. You know, please continue that thread of a conversation.
Yeah, it's just, I was just, well, saying to you, Dan, and to our listeners is that when we started off, it's, we wanted to put down these sort of fly in the wall moments between us two as friends, because we've been friends for a very long time, and through our association with different, whether it's the Rotary Club, being on the board of the Brisbane Rotary Club, Dan was president, I was on the board, and different aspects of business, supporting each other in many ways. They're insular conversations. That just happens with people who are risk takers, who are entrepreneurs and so forth. So those conversations are really never ventilated. So I thought, well, and I've said it before, after I went through my cancer treatment, I went, I'd like to do a podcast with Dan. Let's do it so that if there's somebody else that's like us, other people like us, get to hear the behind the scenes stuff. But the thing is that, like you said, those polarities is that, in my opinion, the people who have, let's just say they've made it, and it might be because it was inherited by family. You know, dad had the money, or great grandfather, and it's been passed down. The silver spoon's been passed down, or what I would call Johnny on the spot,
right place, right
time. Right time. App, you got no idea. Yep, I actually know somebody. I haven't told you. I know somebody that's made $6 million from crypto.
Yep.
Okay. I know that person. Okay, that was just Johnny on the spot. Okay, so whatever. So, or you've got other people who have been told their whole lives, if you make one adjustment to your special life, the whole thing, all the wheels are going to come off, and it's going to end in this giant catastrophe. And there's this energy of catastrophizing. Oh, your wife will leave you and your kids will hate you and you'll end up, it's shark will come down to Chatswood Shopping Center and bite you on the leg or what. It's incredible, the catastrophe that can happen. And then they always can, point to that person. You see, I told you, look at him. Yeah. That's the reason why he's only got one leg, because he started his own business, and then he went jet skiing and got bitten by a shark.
But how much have we learnt being business owners?
Huge.
The good and the bad.
Huge.
I would never have learnt that stuff if I was a full-time employee.
No.
A PAYG safety zone.
No, definitely not. Yeah. No.
One thing I would tell myself is to be constructive, not destructive.
Okay.
I've recognised that my competitive spirit growing up as a young boy, wanting to win everything. It was winning. And that's all I wanted to do in everything. Athletics, champion boy at school. I'm not a long distance runner, but David Smith in the 800 metres, I've never even done an 800 metres, but I stuck to him into the final last 100, and then I sprinted because I'm a sprinter. Well, I'm a triple jumper, I'm a long jumper, I won a gold medal at the QE2 Stadium, Brisbane South, long jump. So I'm fast in short distances.
Right.
But I gave it my all, almost died. I'm an asthmatic as well, and I was crying my eyes out. Won the 800, won the schoolboy champions.
Oh, that's amazing.
But the list goes on of stuff like that, that I give it my all for that perfection. Mm. And perfection's bullshit,
yeah.
Right? It doesn't exist, because even when you reach it and you achieve it, you're always wanting more.
Yeah.
And for me, I've been so disappointed in some aspects of my life, the way that it didn't work out the way in my mind I wanted it to work out. And that wrestling with jealousy and the keeping up with the Joneses, the other people that either had old money passed down and they had the best shoes. I know my cousin down in Sydney, growing up, whenever he came up to stay at our place, he had the R.M. Williams shoes, right. And he had the beautiful outfits and the overnight bag. And, you know, I'm just in a pair of Billabong board shorts, you know, just living in thongs with my surfboard every day. And I'm like, where do you even get shoes like that? Like I never bought a pair of shoes. Mum and Dad would never buy a pair of the shoes until I got to becoming an executive, you know, running my own business here in the CBD. I'm like, I should go and get some R.M. Williams, because apparently that's what success looks like, in the chambray shirt and the 501s and that's the way
chino
you look.
Pants.
Yeah, at Bond University, that's what everyone wore. They had the 3 Series BMW, the Levo 501s, the chambray shirt. And that was the pathway to success.
Sounds
right?
Like purgatory.
And me, I was riding my bike to university because I was doing triathlons and swimming and riding and running. And you know, there was a period in my life where if it wasn't absolute success, winning, then I got so pissed off with myself and angry, and I beat myself up, you know. And therefore, I would take it out on other people.
Right.
And I would go through life as a younger person, and I would want to change people based on what I see of what they're doing wrong.
Right.
And I would be destructive.
Right.
Right. Now, being destructive, that makes you feel good, because you feel like as though you've put them down. You've put them in your spot. You've told them and shown them. You've condescended to them. You've belittled them.
Mm.
And you've made them feel like as though that you know better than they do, because how smart you are. Right? Is that productive?
No.
Is that constructive?
No.
It's a win-lose situation, and they just look at you and think you're a dick. Mm. And that's not helpful, as the therapist taught me. He said, is that helping? Is that helping you? Is it helping them? So my one thing I'd like to tell my younger self is, don't be destructive, be constructive. And look at every opportunity in life of thinking, how can I make this better? How can I make this opportunity, this conversation, this moment in time better for you and for me? And what I'll get out of that is not a look how smart I am and I've just put an extra rung up the ladder. I've gone up the ladder because I've just proven how smart I am. Being more interested in other people and curious about their life, asking them questions as opposed to just talking ad nauseum about, you know, how good I am. Look at me. These are the things I've achieved today. These are the things I'm doing now.
Mm.
You should praise me. I need admiration and praise to make myself feel better. That's another thing, you know, that I'd tell my younger self is, don't worry about admiration and praise from other people. Look after yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Self-love's hard, isn't it?
Talk about love yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very much, and one day we'll do a podcast. Not, this is not the one for it, but we'll do a deep dive in my background. But I am a person that looks, I see the good in people.
Okay.
So I see the good in people, and then when they turn out to be humans, okay, just humans, I would get very, very disappointed.
The expectation.
Yeah. That they were just sunshine and flowers and daffodils.
I
and,
have that same
know,
problem.
Yeah. So everybody's good. Like I
expect more out of people.
And so when they're just humans, you know, frail, scared.
Yep.
A lot of people are scared and they bite you and they don't even know why they've bitten you. Right. Sometimes you think, why did this just happen? Why have you just, and I would be really wounded by that. And I needed to understand that, once again, this is my expectations. My expectation was everybody's good. I look at everybody good. Like they just didn't get the right chance in life. And, you know, that was just, you know, whatever it was. And I'm making excuses for people. So,
it's compassion. That's good too.
Yeah, it is. But when you get wounded, and I'm being honest here, when you get really wounded by, I'll give you an example. I employed many people over the years, and there was a circumstance where someone defrauded us. It was not the money. It wasn't the money. It was just I had no comprehension that someone that I knew for a long period of time would ever defraud me and my wife.
Malicious intent.
I just couldn't even. To me, it was like, you know, and then when I'd speak to people, like, oh, yeah, you got to expect that. Oh, that's what they'll do to you. Yep. Oh, if you haven't got eyes in the back of your head, Matt. Oh, and I'm just like, I don't. Like at the time, I was like, well, why would I have eyes in the back of my head? I know these people. Like, you don't know. I'm being dramatic. But,
too trusting.
Yeah. So I needed to go, okay, you've got to be, how can I, I'm not suspicious, not the word I'm looking for. I've got to be neutral, which is people are neither totally good, like angels that have fallen from, you know, come from heaven, not fallen from heaven, that's the other ones, that, you know, they're all good and light and, you know, the right amount of sunshine and water and they'll all just turn into beautiful whatever. That's not the way it is. And I needed to go to a neutral setting. But once again, that is part of perfectionism on my part. Mm. And I had to learn that because I look at the benefit of other people and I'm very much, you know me, that's why we're good friends, is I look for the win-win. As in, how can I help? And, you know, we're together. And that really does, I hold a good conscience. But I'll tell you what, people, there is some people who are looking for that. They want that. They'll just, you know,
sport to them.
Absolutely, it's like fly fishing, isn't it? You know, you got to, you know, just, and they'll tell you,
"I got you."
Mm. I mean, it doesn't kill you, but it's. I don't ever want to lose my faith in humanity, but I had to learn that people. At least I had to bring my thinking to a neutral setting. So I don't think people are bad or whatever, but well, on the other hand, they're not all good.
There were terrible things going on. Like there was looting when people were evacuated from their house. You know, in some areas there were young people, terrible young people going in and stealing stuff out of their houses.
Yeah.
The amount of scammers that are around, I mean, I think I've got four people that have tried to get my password for Microsoft 365.
Is that right?
And, you know, when you press the, I've forgotten my password, and it sends an email to reset your password. I got that email four times this week. There's people out there trying to, like, fraudulently attack me and my family and my business. And when I brought it up in my team meeting this morning, my team member said, yeah, I've been getting a lot of that as well, himself, some other people in my team. And, you know, scammers rife, and you know, for those people that are waking up every day working in that environment, wanting to deliberately, actively scam people out of money, and they think that that's a great way to live their life and go to their grave thinking that they've just ripped people off. I mean, there's been property developers and there's been loan sharks and there's been, you know, money go round type, you know,
Ponzi schemes,
multi-level marketing schemes, people that are, you know, trying to be the messiah, and if you follow me and join my cult, you know, they take money off you and buy my subscription and, you know, read my books and buy my CDs and your life will be better. It comes down
But wouldn't it be easier, Dan? No, but just think of it. There's one magic little pill and you could take it. And all of your problems will be solved. Wouldn't it be easier that way for one easy monthly payment of $9.95?
you get 8-pack. Yes, yeah. You get the 8-pack, the 8-minute 8-pack.
Oh, I wish life was simple like that, but it's not, is it?
Well, another interesting insight that came to fruition just recently when, you know, the highs and lows of business and cost of living. And, you know, these days everyone's looking at a block of cheese and going, wow, $7 True. For 15 True. Slices. Eggs are $12.
Have you actually seen any eggs?
I did, yeah, down Where? The corner at the Rock and Roll Bakery.
Are you sure there's actually eggs?
There were. I'm not too sure if there's any left now. Mm. Bird flu has been terrible, decimated right. Australia and around the world apparently.
Right.
That's a big problem. But, you know, we as a family with the things that you've got to pay for, like the water bill, the Brisbane City Council rates, electricity, gas, soccer fees, the list goes on. And I'm not alone. And other parents with other family members, time. This time of year, February into March, has been really expensive. We've all been hit at the same time with the bills. And cost of living is through the roof. Inflation was really high. And so you're starting to make decisions on, do I really need to go shopping? Do I need that retail therapy?
I agree.
Do we really need another pair of jeans? Do we really need some new shoes? Why don't we just use the same shoes we used previously? Not for the kids if they've outgrown them, of course. You're not cutting a hole with their toes in the end of the shoes.
Do you think that's a really good point there. Do you think after this, well, what we were preparing for the cyclone, where, and you mentioned this, I think before we started the podcast, we're talking about the stuff that we lifted off the floor or we packed away or we moved somewhere else. Do you think that this is another time for us as a society or a consumer-driven society? Do you think it's another reset for us to actually have a look? I hope so.
You know, the lesson that I've learned over life is you can get by with quite a little amount. You don't need all those things to show off to your neighbours and your friends that you've got all those things that are in the checklist to make you successful. You can actually survive with quite a little amount if you're frugal. You know, if you appreciate the most important things in life as opposed to attaching emotional value to things, materialistic possessions. Because, you know, I've had a business where we had 11 staff with everyone having two computer monitors, keyboards, mice,
yep.
Credenza desks, fridges full of wine. And, you know, that's what you had to do. Now we've adapted. Most people are working from home. It's flexible. You're saving money. And you can now, I've learnt, if I look back now, of all the money that I've spent on those other furniture items and things like that I thought that I needed, it probably equates to $1 million a year when you add in all the computers that you got to buy and the software for everything and all that stuff. I guess a point that I'm making is that if I look back in my history of time, I didn't need to buy all that stuff because we're living in a disposable world where you wear shoes for a year or so and then you're throwing them out and buying a new pair. Mm. Again, because it's so, it sounds contradicting that, you know, the sweatshops in India and these places that have made T-shirts.
Bangladesh.
Yep. You can go and buy T-shirts for $5 at Kmart, you know, and you start getting a yellow stain under your armpit. You just throw it away and go and buy a new one. But, you know, there's things that we have bought in our lifetime that you look back and go, did I really need that? Probably not. But at the end of the day, you know, do I regret any of those actions that I took? The things that I did, they're all lessons in life that have made me to who I am today.
Mm.
And I wouldn't change anything. But I'm really glad that at my age of 50, that I'm enjoying the awakening.
Yeah.
The awakening moment of going, you know, I appreciate good health. I'm enjoying not, sabotaging my life because I didn't realize it, but I was pulling myself back to be within the herd so that I wouldn't get seen because I was afraid of being successful. I was actually afraid of success.
Right, that's an interesting point, Dan.
So if I stuck my head up and said, I'll be a president of the Rotary Club of Brisbane or I'll be a leader, I'll run the business, I'll take responsibility, I will lead the charge, trust in me, come with me, that what could come from that? Oh, you're a failure, or, you know, it's never going to work, or I'll give you 6 months. You know, there's all the naysayers, you know, but I think that what I've learned and what I've discovered, and at the end of the day, now that I'm 50, I look back and go, wow, I actually have achieved a lot. Learned a lot, experienced a lot, sure, there's things I haven't done on the bucket list, and there's still a really long list of things I'd like to do. And that's great that there's things that are on your list of things to do. But we've all, if you speak to other family members and other humans in your life, whether they're really close acquaintances or you run into someone you haven't spoken to for a really long time, and they look like as though on Facebook they've got this perfect life, but then you ask them a question, they're like, oh no, it's been really tough. You know, we've lost this person in our family, or my dog died, or, you know, I've really struggled, and, you know, we're up to our eyeballs in debt, or I separated from my wife.
That's true.
And you go, wow.
It's a very voyeuristic life, isn't it? I mean, we're both on social media, probably too much, but you look at people and it's, there is this, oh, I'm living my best life ever, you know, and people don't show you the, you know, the dirty dishes in the sink, or the unmade bed, or I'm just using that, you know, the general, you know, the dog's got hair through the house.
Mess of life.
Exactly. Okay. And most people don't have a maid, two or three maids, or people coming in and cleaning the whole place. You know, it's life. Okay. If you've got children, it's life. But we've got that keeping up with the Joneses is keeping up with the unreality of that. And I was just going back to your, got me thinking that when you spoke about, because I remember your business when you had that premises, it was massive, and we used to have
425 square meters.
Yes, and we used to have all of those, like a hub for.
It was an unreasonable business forum once a month.
It was amazing. Okay, you said, I thought I needed to have all of those things in the kitchen, the fully stocked kitchen, all the snacks, all the drinks, all of that. Where do you think that pressure came from to be like that?
I think that really early on, the comparison, trying to compare myself and my staff members and anyone who knows me, I looked at other agencies and they were winning Ad News of the Year or B&T News of the Year, Agency of the Year, BADC Awards. These are all advertising industry awards. And I was just like, well, I must be doing something really wrong. You know, we're either not putting in our application and putting our hand up to become the agency of the year, or they're just very good at filling out the form better than I am, and they're ticking all the boxes and winning these things. And the jealousy of thinking that I needed to be like that, I needed to be a thought leader, I needed to have admiration, you know, made me want to put myself out there. But it was for an unhealthy outcome.
Right.
It was looking for admiration and praise and people looking at me and my agency as, well, that's a measure of success.
Right.
Well done you for what you've done. I think that I would never not do it again. I'm actually thinking about doing those things again. It's a great platform to give back, is another way to look at it. To give back to those other people in
the forum. You're not going to lease out another 600 square meter place, are you? No. Good.
That's what WeWork is for. Yeah. You literally just go and book it. They're the real estate agent. Yes. Just book their room for the night. But I've got a black book of people in my life in business that are so highly regarded, captains and queens of industry. And bringing them to my side and allowing them a platform to communicate their knowledge to others, I think is just like this podcast where we're sharing our knowledge. But it's bringing their perspective of what they've learned in their particular trade, their category, their industry, and sharing what they're seeing and what they're hearing, particularly with the advent of AI world.
Yeah.
When you add quantum computing and AI on top of it, right. So the compounding of that is just going to be out of control. Not everyone likes
Joe Rogan.
Not everyone likes Donald Trump. Not everyone likes Peter Dutton. But it's divisive, and there's definitely going to be people that hate them and can't stand them. I think transparency is really important, but then what I saw with Vladimir Zelensky is that conversation should have been had behind closed doors.
I agree with you. That was a disaster.
Hanging the dirty washing out.
That was
in public.
Crazy.
Yep. It showed how immature some of those decisions are, that, you know, it's gone too far, transparency in that regard. So some things need to be shared. Some things need to be protected for the sake of the ceremony of the meeting that we're having, and the outcome, the importance of the outcome of the partnership, or the win-win that you're trying to aim for. And as leaders, we need to think about, some people aren't ready for that information. We need to coach them through the change or what's about to happen. Their feelings, some people can manage their feelings, some people can't. Mm. So you need to help them through that, you know, psychological preparedness of change. Some people don't like change. A lot of people don't like change.
Most people don't.
I've learned to embrace change from people saying, "Hi, Dan, I'm resigning today." And like, "Oh, God, like what? Oh, I've decided to go and live overseas." Well, I can't stop that. You know, right? Bye, Elise. Good luck. Have well wishes. And Elise, if you listen to this, we still open our doors today. And my promise still stands to you. On the last day when you left, I said, if you ever come back here, you've got a standing offer to come and work for us, because you really are one of the best employees that I've had. But we've then gone on to open the doors to new people in our team, and great things have happened, and we evolve. So I've learned to embrace change, but a lot of people can't handle change. They like that routine of knowing what tomorrow looks like, that surety, that certainty.
But there is no certainty. That's what we've all
found.
It's
a cocktail. Having the balance between the paradox of knowing what tomorrow is going to look like, the certainty versus uncertainty, that cocktail, that keeping that tension between both, you've got to have a spice of life. Change is as good as a holiday. You know, you've got to be able to wake up tomorrow and go, well, I don't know what tomorrow is going to look like. Mm. That's why we called ourselves Next Thursday, because between now and next Thursday,
anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Absolutely. And nobody knows what it's going to be like. And that's what makes it interesting. So, I don't know, there's things that I would tell myself, not to beat myself up so hard, be so hard on myself if I didn't succeed. Love myself for warts and all. It starts with you. Don't look for love in other places from other people.
Good point.
And equally enjoy good health, because sabotaging yourself and pulling yourself down, making yourself less able to be a leader because my ego was saying, go on, have another bottle of red wine, just don't even worry about tomorrow, just enjoy now, because you're going to hate tomorrow, because who knows what tomorrow is going to bring. No, you need to change that way of thinking, the narrative of saying, you know what, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I need to get myself ready for tomorrow. I need to stop drinking that bottle of wine and drink a bottle of water instead, and get myself prepped for a big day tomorrow, even though I don't know what tomorrow is going to be like.
Mm.
Even if I don't have meetings booked in my diary, something might happen. The phone might ring, and the course of history can completely change, like you've seen in my last 2.5 weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Completely different things to could not have forecasted. And, you know, that preparedness of life, whatever life throws at you, and shit will be thrown at you, guaranteed. And the more important you become up the top of the tree, the bigger the problems get.
That is correct.
That's another thing I would tell myself, is that, by the way, the more responsibility that you put on your shoulders, being a parent.
The biggest responsibility of
all. Buying a house, the commitment of paying the mortgage and all those other bills that come with it. Being a president of a Rotary Club, being a managing director of a company, being a trusted advisor that is responsible for changing a brand's course of history, the direction it's on, rebranding it to a completely different brand, when it's a publicly listed company, that if you get that wrong, the share price drops and the shareholders' investment drops.
Mm.
Big responsibilities. So the more higher up the tree you go, the bigger the responsibilities, the more problems that people bring to you. So you almost are waking up every day going, there's going to be another box of problems going to be served up on my table. And be ready for that. Don't walk to the table. I tell myself, problems will come every day. Don't be surprised, because that's the gift of being high up the tree.
That's true.
So that's another thing I'd tell myself.
Absolutely. No, that's really insightful.
Different attitude.
Absolutely. I really like that, Dan. That's great. And for me, as I said, it's really, I think the theme of perfectionism is an issue. whether it's viewing other people as perfect or you as lesser or self-medicating in whichever direction you're going, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's religion, whether it's social club, whether it's
cosmetic,
being a pick-me person, whatever it is, you know, that's something that we all self-medicate. I just think, I hope that people who have an opportunity, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, solving the problems of the world, but to have an opportunity to really test yourself and grow. And from that, I think there's just, even failure is one of the most amazing things.
So good.
Especially if it's your mistakes.
You don't fail, you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And fail fast. When it comes to doing marketing or rolling things out, if you've got data and proof that you can do a small test market and get some feedback, like what we did the last 5 episodes has been a pilot. It's been a test.
Yeah.
We're putting ourselves out there. We're doing something a little bit different. We're investing time. We're having a chat. We've got so much more knowledge than what we did. How long has it been?
Oh, definitely.
2 months ago?
In terms of podcast, absolutely.
And at the same time, this is just a little side hustle. This is not our number one gig. You know, for those people that think that we've got Joe Rogan rattling in his boots, thinking we're going to steal his thunder, you're wrong. We've got our main...
You reckon we're not going to choose the next president, pick the next president of the United States? Is that what?
I'll take his call. I think we wanted to wrap up by talking about, well, now that we've gotten rid of all the excess lying around our house and we've put it all away into some corner and we have to put it back, if we use that as a metaphor of we've got a blank canvas on our back deck or around our house, you know, what are we actually putting back in our book of life or our house of life as a metaphor? You yourself, you've had a second chance at life.
Oh, definitely.
So what are you bringing back into your house of life? And that's kind of something we wanted people to think about. Oh, we've survived Cyclone Alfred and we're now getting back to normal. What does this week look like? What does next week look like?
Have we learned from it? Have we learned from it?
Have you appreciated different things? Parents, neighbours, should we be spending time with people? You know, that routine that you had last week before the cyclone, the routine you want for this next week going forward. What I loved is that everyone went through it together. From Bribie Island down to, you know, Surfers Paradise, the Gold Coast.
And New South Wales into... Did Lismore get... They got a little bit of...
It wasn't as bad as 2021.
Right.
But, you know, Lockyer Valley, all those places that flooded, you know, flooded. It wasn't as bad though. But we were all Southeast Queenslanders... it bonded us and it made us all sit up and take notice, because a weather system that's a Category 2 cyclone, it doesn't happen very often in our lifetimes.
No.
So think about your book of life, your house of life, and what do you want to write in this next chapter going forward, now that you've listened to this podcast to the very end, of course. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to episode 6. And we promise to drop another one in the next fortnight.
We will. Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Ciao for now.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast. To follow us, like and subscribe. And you'll find more content on all popular social media platforms. Search No Time to Be Offended. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, we hope you get the best out of your life.